Jay Charles Andy McKee.
And we are recording. And for the recording, this is a pre-hearing conference in the appeal of neighbors encouraging reasonable development from a decision and interpretation by the director of the Department of Planning and Development. I am Margaret Clockers. I'm sitting as pro tem here in the center. And I'll ask that each of you introduce yourselves for the record. We'll start with the appellants.
Okay, close
just
up.
For your voice.
Okay. My name is Paul Howery. I'm one of the organizers or directors of Neighbors Encouraging Reasonable Development. It's our neighborhood group. We founded it as a nonprofit to deal with some development that was excessive and violated some rules. We just wanted reasonable development and ended up having a hearing about it, and we actually prevailed, and we hope that the building that goes into the space will be one that actually fits within the neighborhood.
Is this one on?
I have no idea.
Just speaking to this one. Okay. My name is Chuck Burkhalter. I'm just a neighbor within the vicinity of the project.
I'm Andy McKim from DPD. I'm here with respect to the land use code interpretation.
I'm Jerry Souter, land use planning supervisor at DPD, and I'm here related to the master use permit decision for the determination of non-significance that we published.
And I am Jesse Clausen of McCullough Hill Leary, and we are here representing the applicant.
All right. The purpose of the pre-hearing is to get some clarification on anything that needs to be clarified and set some dates and do anything we can do to expedite the hearing itself. I guess first clarification, I understand there is an interpretation appeal and the MUP appeal is of the DNS. And what I think it appeared to me from the appeal letter that there is no challenge to the determination as to the steep slope issue. I mean, that impacts on the steep slope.
It's a steep slope.
So it's only if you prevail on your interpretation appeal, then I would assume you're asking to go back for a
full design review.
And a new threshold determination
yes.
Based on full. Okay. And you're welcome to ask questions or comment, others of you as well. I just needed to know that.
I think that's a good point for clarification is looking at the appeal statement. I don't see an obvious appeal to any of the issues that we're limited to under the determination of significance, which is the impacts to the environmentally critical area. And furthermore, I don't even see anything that really is even directly challenging anything about environmental review, even beyond the scope of what we could deal with. Other than the interpretation of field items, I see 2 points, 4.1.14, 4.1.5, that sound to me like they would need to have interpretations filed in order for those to be considered because they're about code interpretation as opposed to the DNS, and especially when the DNS is limited to the impacts of the critical area. So I think that's my main concern here.
We had contemplated putting in a motion to, and we just haven't gotten around to getting that in, so we've talked. I'm not sure who's going to write it to figure out where we're going on some of these issues. I think the point that Jerry points out, those last two, 4.1.14 does have some relation to the interpretation issue in that those are standards that depend on the number of dwelling units. 4.1.5 isn't something that was raised in either the interpretation or with respect to the CEPA decision. There's general language under the appellant's interest portion that seems to relate to general CEPA issues, but we didn't see anything in there that did relate specifically to the ECA issue. And with ECA SEPA, our review is limited to the ECA issues, and that's in section 25.05.908B.
And I think that was what I was trying to get at, saying that the other SEPA issue, I mean, a new threshold determination would only be at play if we determine that it's not categorically exempt at all. At this point, you're limited to the steep slope issues, but should it be more than 20 units, then we would go back. I would assume I would remand for a new threshold determination based on all the impacts that it would have.
That would be the case. Now, the other thing, and I'm not sure how we're going to frame this, but I think it's something that we may want to deal with as a motion, maybe before we, because it's jurisdictional as well, is if there isn't a valid SEPA appeal, the question becomes, is there a basis for consideration of an appeal of the interpretation? And so the code section there, and that will be something that, you know, I'm not sure I know the right answer to it, so, but the code section there is 23.88.020 under land use code interpretations, under F, availability and venue of appeals. F3 says an interpretation relating to a type 2 master use permit shall be subject to the same appeal deadline as the related project decision and may be appealed only if that project decision is appealed. The appeal of the interpretation shall be consolidated with the appeal of the related project decision. So the question becomes is if there isn't an effective appeal of the related MUP decision, I'm not sure that the hearing examiner has jurisdiction to consider the appeal of the interpretation.
Okay. That does sound like we will need a motion
yes.
and considerable argument. The other, and in the same vein, speak to me about the vesting. The appeal challenges the vesting. And I know type 1 decisions are not appealable unless they are in an interpretation. You refer to the vesting and the interpretation, but I don't know if there was a request for an interpretation as to the vesting.
I don't think the request for interpretation raised a question about vesting, and I think I must have just missed that.
But I am concerned about what my role is and whether I have authority to review that. That could be, haven't looked at the witness list to see, but that could be considerable.
Okay.
So that would need to be addressed in some way so that I know whether that's something that can be reviewed by me or not, and subject to review.
Now, I don't know that vesting was actually a question resolved or raised in the interpretation request. The interpretation made of a asserted as part of the background or findings of fact that we were looking at the code as of a particular date because there was a change in the code that did affect projects of this nature.
So can I?
Yes.
I understand that we're trying to say whether or not you can consider the concept of the vesting and whether that's valid to hit. In this process, I'm just going to state what was actually happening here. The project was vested under a certain condition with a SEPA checklist that was completely erroneous and invalid. It was actually referring to a building in Ballard, not a building in West Seattle. That is part of evidence to be submitted. I'd like to know how the city can vest that. And since the interpretation that we challenged was about whether this building was an apartment versus a micro house, because we thought it should be seen as an apartment for the proper counting of the units and its impact in the neighborhood. If we are to be able to challenge whether or not the interpretation is correct on what type of building it is, we should be able to consider that the SEPA checklist at the time that they're claiming that this was vested, and the date. It's for a completely different building. It's for a building in Ballard.
So it is
directly impacting upon the interpretation. I'm not a lawyer, so I apologize. But the revised CEPA checklist was done after the date of the vesting, because we called it out and said, this doesn't even apply. So therefore, how can you bypass the proper regulation for building of the number of units?
And I guess what it really comes down to, though, is what the hearing examiner's authority is to review that, even if it's wrong. Some of the Type 1 decisions are final with, even if they're wrong, with the director, unless they're taken to court, mm-hmm. and the hearing examiner is cut out of that. And so I will be interested in the city's position okay. on that. And I don't know, I guess the motion would come from beside the table, and right. then you would have a chance to respond.
So I can't respond. So there's another point of issue from the standpoint of this vesting, just since it's out there, mm-hmm. is that in the decision, which would be, let me get the right code thing for you so I know what I'm talking about. Where's our MUP? Oh, it was MUP-14-065-14001, and that was NERD. In dealing with development in the city just on that same block, it was clearly determined that frequent transit was not met, and so that any claims with that, and this would be including at the time of this vesting, it is not considered frequent transit and therefore exempt from parking. So once again, how do we have a CEPA decision based upon proper considerations for its environmental impacts when there's a foundation of false information. So.
Okay, we need to set times for dispositive motions. Mm-hmm. And there's another, why don't you mention the discovery issue
yes.
that you mentioned.
We've sent out a request for documentation and stuff to various parties. We have not heard anything back yet, so we don't have any discovery information back to us. So we would definitely like that. Before we can make a time frame decision on something, so we can review it and then say, okay, let's roll forward.
And the various parties include a public agency, you're saying?
Yes.
That includes, okay.
I guess I am not sure that did I receive that? And if not, that it's fine. You can just email it to me. But
I can send it again.
That would be great. If you are indeed asking us for information.
I have indeed done so. I was on 8/21.
My understanding, there's also a public records request, and they've not had a response. And I don't know if that's to deepen.
It wasn't framed as a public records request, so we didn't treat it as one.
Okay.
We treated it as a request for production, because it says, please produce the following documents, and has the heading for this project. We certainly can provide this information independent of all of this as a public records
I can make another question.
Matter. Thinking, though, rather than respond to this, since we have some motions that we felt like needed to be dealt with, if it turned out that there was no jurisdiction to consider the appeal, or if parts of it were not really before the hearing examiner, it didn't make sense to produce documents that relate to those. One thing in particular it asks for is, materials concerning frequent transit service, and so that's not a question that was raised in the code interpretation request, so it wasn't addressed in the code interpretation, and it's also I don't think that it has any bearing on the ECA CEPA review, so my thought was that doesn't really have anything to do with the issues that are before the hearing examiner.
What I am hearing is we better set an early date for the dispositive motion so we can get on to discovery
right.
depending on the outcome of that. What's reasonable? I don't even have a sense of that anymore.
This is Ms. Claussen. Mm-hmm. I think we could prepare a motion in a week.
I was wondering if 7 days was
yes.
we would need time once to see that to...
Oh, yes, you would then have a similar amount of time to respond to it. And then we would decide whether we needed any oral argument or whether I can resolve it on the,
okay.
on the pleadings that are filed. So, if...
Would,
Mr.
In the name of expediency, is it worth considering a verbal motion on simply the scope of the environmental review appeal?
I think we have agreement on that. I think that the scope of the appeal is there are no issues as to the environmental review of the steep slope part that you are limited to, and therefore the appeal is seeking a remand for a new threshold determination based on the number of units. So it awaits the determination as to the legitimacy of that determination.
So was that would that be an order that you would be able to send out after we set this, that the appeal is limited to the interpretation? I'm thinking that might help narrow the motions after that.
I'm going to have to challenge that. I don't know how to say it in a legal way. I'm sorry.
It's too formal.
It's okay.
The whole point of that CEPA review that is that it is limited to ECA, when in reality, and I'll just state what it is, it's a 100-unit building with no parking that goes up 7 stories plus 2 mezzanines over a single-family neighborhood. With that, it's clearly not showing what it really is, and it has an impact. And therefore, the interpretation of what that building is determines whether or not the CEPA review that was done is valid. And considering that the CEPA review, whether it's ECA or not, it was done with a bad set of documentation. The documentation that the CEPA review was based upon is one that refers to a building in Ballard.
Okay, so we do have an issue as to that threshold determination. You're saying it's a steep slope?
Yeah, it doesn't even refer to that building. It's referring to some address in by the Greenwood Fred Meyer, or the Ballard Fred Meyer, the one by the Fremont.
Okay, well, it sounds like you should have an opportunity to show that, unless, you know, through a motion.
Did you say that was in both the original and the revised CEPA checklist?
No, in the revised, it was changed, but that was after the date of vesting.
Right. The review was done on the revised checklist.
No, the review was done before that, if you say that's what the vesting was.
I think there are two different, at least my recollection is there are two different determinations. One, the vesting is just that it's there. I mean, everything is there, it's complete. And then you're talking about the review that's done for environmental purposes
right.
after you have that. So
right.
we are still talking about, it sounds like it all goes back to the vesting and the number of units.
And the basis of the interpretation.
I'll try, I think we're sort of in agreement. I'll try to fashion some kind of a proposed order. Maybe I'll fashion a proposed order and have you all look at it and see if it reflects. I don't know if that can be done, but I'll see. And relating to whether or not we have any SEPA issues for the hearing, which sounds like we don't, only after there's a decision in this one, then we'll know if we have issues. Okay, so motions and I said dispositive, but there may be other issues other than dispositive ones you need to raise. I can't read this calendar. We are on the 16th. So 5:00 on the 24th is that filings by 9:24, and that's for any motions. Following that, there would be an opportunity then to response until 5:00 on October 1st. And then, there could be requests for reply to that, but we'll leave it at that right now. do have, and I assume each party received a copy of the appellant's witness list.
That's where I was printing it for everybody, and I grabbed the wrong folder when I walked out.
Oh, she didn't make.
So she didn't make. She only made the one copy.
Email it to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can do it right now.
Unless you were asking us to review it now.
No.
And I can.
Email's fine.
Okay. All right. As long as that's fine.
Yeah, that's best.
Oh, that's best?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do that then. Straight up then.
And when I lose it, I
can't find it. No, I completely got you on that. I understand.
I guess we will await the resolution of the motions before asking for witness lists from the responding parties.
So just so I understand the time frames, when will they?
You will receive the motions by the, whatever we said, the 24th.
Okay.
The close of day on 24th. And then you'll have a week to respond to that, and then I will rule on those if it doesn't appear that we need oral argument.
Okay.
And following that, so do we wait? Do you want to set a date for a hearing, hoping that this will all be resolved?
This is my question. If my client were here, he would say yes. Let's get something on the calendar, just so that if and when there's a ruling and there's a hearing, we're not farther out.
Okay, so we would get the response by the first. I give myself several days to read that. And then following that, we expect witness lists from respondents. We're looking for.
So with the ruling on the motions, we can maybe also sort out which of the things that have been asked for in terms of production are still on the table.
Right. Oh, that's right. Sorry. Production issues. Yes, after you get a ruling from the hearing examiner, then appellants could review your request for production and see what of it is still relevant and notify within a couple of days, let's say within 3 days after the order.
Okay.
Notify them with a department and appellant. I mean, and a respondent. And then I assume it'll be as.
They
do that respond as expedition. I mean, I don't know what kinds of things are.
They ask for a lot. It's not as exhaustive as some of the things that we get.
Okay. No videos that you need to track down. Take it to the police. So, what's a reasonable time period after that for everyone to be ready for a hearing? After
any documents and have a chance to go through them for
a week later?
Maybe a little more than a week, for sure.
Let me track where we are now. One there. I would have something out there. Then we would have production.
As a group of people, we have jobs, and so we end up doing this in our evening and family times.
Mm-hmm. I am sympathetic at the same time. We can't let it go on too long. I don't know what the.
I'm just looking ahead, just trying to count. So potentially a ruling the week of October 8th or 9th, potentially. And then the week following, the week of the October 12th, would be when we say, okay, this is generally what we think is relevant based on what's still in. I think based on what Andy is saying, it wouldn't be difficult to get those documents to the group by the next week, right, Andy? So the week of the 19th.
So here you can look at, here's what they asked.
Yeah.
Okay. And then if they had 2 weeks.
It would be the week of November 1st or November 2nd.
so. And at this point, that week is, I didn't look at my calendar that far out. I'm hoping. And you certainly are welcome to look at your calendars and see if you have anything that would prevent you from. There's no election day.
Right? I know. Well, there's election day on Tuesday. So yeah,
week.
Maybe not the day after. Maybe just Tuesday.
Yeah. How about Thursday the 5th?
That's great. That works great.
So yes. We will tentatively set the hearing date as the 5th of November, unless I hear from one of the parties that they've discovered their chief witness is not available, or but urge you to be available. And it looks like we could move it to the 6th or to the 4th or something if we absolutely have, if we had to for a significant witness. Okay, what else do we need to try to achieve? So far we just have dates. We haven't made a note to myself, and I think I did, I think probably was clear that for code provisions, anything that earlier code provisions, I think we need a copy in the record for any appellate review. So if you were relying on previous code provisions, please make a copy for an exhibit.
I mean, for even current code provisions, or are you just a past?
Okay. Past ones.
I do have one thing, Ms. Claussen, it just so that we're all clear, if and when we go to the hearing, just want to be clear that when we do exhibits, we should have copies for one for me, one for them.
Right,
and
no,
one
that,
for example.
Actually, like, I had
You've
printed,
been to
I,
this before,
yes,
but some people haven't. So
yeah, I printed up. I had one for myself and four other copies, which would have worked out.
Yeah, and that's totally fine. I just, you know, sometimes we get into a hearing and we've emailed you them, and I'm like, I do not have them. So, anyway, that's great.
Anything else you can think of that would be useful to have? I will issue some brief order just with the dates. I don't think there's much else for me to say at this point.
But just so that I'm understanding this, we're saying that November 5th will be hearing actual?
Mm-hmm. Unless someone finds that there is something that prevents them from.
I just will state right off the record that I might be in India.
Oh, that would be a problem.
So when will you know that by? Because I just need to be able to plan.
It's the nature of my job. I run operations, and we don't have a determined date of when I'm going to leave yet. And I've forbidden it's for a 2-week period, but I don't know when. So we'll just go forward with this right now. There's nothing else I can do.
Is there anything else we can take care of? Oh, and I saw that appellants want, you don't want mailed orders, you want them by
email. I prefer email.
Okay.
It's immediate, it's quick.
Save trees.
Save trees.
Is there something special that we're supposed to do in order to agree to do it by email, or can we just agree to
on the record if everyone says
agreed.
Agreed. Your has some portal or something. That
That's true.
Yeah. They may have something, but they haven't told me.
Well,
so.
And I actually, to that point, have you guys all, I'm sure you've registered for the hearing examiner. There is a portal that we upload to. So for official, I used to come walk everything over myself, but then Laura in our office let me know that there is a portal. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Just so that, you know, I'm assuming the examiner, well, you tell me, actually, would you like us to email you, or would
wait for that? I guess if we're trying to move things along quickly, emailing me directly rather than having me contact the office to see if it's there would be good.
Okay.
And again, that may, that's good.
Well, perhaps you could just address that in
I'll
your
order.
Order. Yes,
exactly. Thank you.
Just let us know how we're supposed to do it, and we will do it that way.
Things have sure changed in the last 15 years
or whatever.
It was
in the last two. It was in the last two, really, truly. Here.
Okay, then I will issue something, and you all get to work on motions, and we will be adjourned today. Thanks.
All right,
thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Apparently, you can go to the hearing examiner. I haven't figured out how to do
it. Oh, no.
Yet,
you mean this is available?
I think so.
We have to be more
awesome.
Careful now.
At least for the hearings.